Thank you, thank you. And indeed, we thank you for the gift of blood, the gift of love, and the gift of Christ. Good morning, New Hope Christian Church, brothers and sisters. It's 2022. Time flies, and it's just like crazy. Only last week was Christmas, right? You still remember Christmas? I hope so. I hope every one of you get some gifts during Christmas. Oh, you show me? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, good. You get your gifts and you like it. I hope everybody else, like the gift also. If not, there's always a thing called return and exchange. But I hope you all have a good time. I did. Even though I missed my elder daughter, we did have a good time. How about you all? You all have a good time in Christmas? Excellent, very good. From 1 to 10, probably 8 or 9 or 10 or 11. Thumbs up. Good. We all celebrated Christmas, and we know Christmas is the birth of Christ, right? So when we celebrate Christmas, it's actually we are celebrating the birthday of Christ. I remember when I first come here in the United States, and I get a roommate, and I want to surprise him on his birthday, so I set up a birthday party for him. And I didn't tell him in advance. So I gave him gifts, gave him candles and everything lighted up, and then I waited past midnight. He didn't show up. I was disappointed. But come to think of it, I shouldn't be disappointed. I didn't tell him. It was supposed to be a surprise, right? So I think, next year maybe I should tell him or something. Then I think about this past Christmas. It is the birthday party of Christmas, of Christ. It is his birthday party. So we all celebrated with our family. Have you all celebrated with Christ that it is his birthday? Did we bring him any gift? Did we really say, happy birthday, Jesus? Or did we ever spend some time with him just to be with him during Christmas? As believers of Christ, sometimes I'm ashamed of myself. I don't spend enough time with him. Even though I call myself a Christ believer, a follower of Christ, a disciple. And even at Christmas time, this year I spent a little bit more time because I know I have to speak today. So that's why I spend more time. But usually, I may not spend enough time, especially I don't remember it's really his birthday. It's kind of sad, right? When it's my birthday and then everybody is celebrating, they have their fun, they share the gifts and open the gifts, and I am the outsider. What if they think like Jesus would feel? I don't know. If it were me, I'd be really lonely and desperate. So as a disciple of Christ, we try to look back into Mark, what Jesus is going to tell us through Mark, that how to be a disciple. And today's title is Faithful Discipleship. So before we go on, how do we know that we are a disciple of Christ? Or how do we know we are following Christ? A lot of times I get lost, and I need to go back to the Bible. And that's why today we're going back to Mark, and we're going to study Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 31. And we're going to read only a few verses. We all stand up and read together Mark chapter 14, verses 3 to 9. And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, and he was reclining at table, a woman came in with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they scolded her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me, for you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, What she has done will be told in memory of her. Let's bow our head. Father God, we thank you for this gift. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your words. We thank you for using our brother Mark to write this down so we can learn how Jesus has passed through his last few days, last few hours, and how his disciples have spent time with him. Father God, may your Holy Spirit be with us when we study your words this morning, that we'll be illuminated by the Holy Spirit, empowered by Jesus' love, that we will come to know Jesus better. And when we walk with Christ, we will walk closer with him day after day, day by day, one step at a time. Father God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You all be seated, please. Today's passage is on faithful discipleship. So we need to get some definition when we talk about faithful discipleship. When we talk about faith, a lot of people will think about, or some of us will think about, the definition of faith, which is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen, right? So this is, everybody knows it. But sometimes I have trouble understanding it, so I have to put it in my own term. So faithful discipleship, first, we look at what discipleship means. Discipleship to me is the process that a believer responds to the Holy Spirit and grow to become more and more like Christ every day. That is a believer equipped by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and walk with the Holy Spirit to be more like Christ and grow spiritually. So I define discipleship that way. Then what is faithful discipleship? Faithful to me, it's kind of abstract from Hebrews 11:1, because it's the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. If I have faith in Jesus, then of course I believe in him. I believe that he was going to come back again. But when I'm talking about faithful discipleship, that's about this describing my discipleship with him, then how would Jesus look at it? When and how will he call me a faithful disciple? I got to be faithful to Christ, but how will Christ define me as a faithful disciple? So I come up with this definition. In the Lord's eyes, faithful discipleship is the process that undependable believers grow to become dependable disciples. When Jesus looked at us, George, you are not dependable. Gradually, I hope that one day he said, George, you are dependable. And that's when I define faithful. Turning myself from undependable to dependable. Undependable means when Jesus called to me, I don't answer, I don't respond. Dependable means when Jesus calls on me, I respond, and I respond the way he wants and expected to. So let's move on. Today I'm going to look at a rather long passage, but I'm going to be just doing a 30,000 feet run over. I'm trying to do it in three sessions. The first one is faithful discipleship, pours out life. Second one is faithful discipleship, places confidence in the Lord. And last, faithless disciples betrays and falls away. And before we do that, I'm going to talk a little bit about Mark, because we've been in Mark for 3-4 months, and I'm forgetful, so that's why I need to remind myself what is Mark talking about. So basically, when I look at it, in Mark, the first session of Mark is from chapter 1 to 8:30. In verse 1, it said, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." This gospel is about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So who is Jesus Christ? Jesus is the name that was given. Christ is the title. Christ means the anointed one, right? The Messiah. And this is the book about the servant, the gospel of the servant. Jesus, the servant. Jesus, the anointed. Jesus, the Messiah. This is about him. So So this book is about Jesus as a human being, as a servant, as a Messiah when he is on earth. And this is what Peter said in 8:29. Who are you? And he said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the servant that God sent. So from 1 to 8:30, it pretty much established the identity of Christ. And then from 8:31 to 10:52 is the mission of Christ. What is he doing on earth? On 8:31, he said, it began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Again, in chapter 9, he said, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. And in chapter 10, again, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. So this is the 30,000 overfeet view of the Gospel of Mark so far. And today we are in chapter 14, and we are actually in Jerusalem. And the Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees, they are plotting to kill Jesus. And this is the background of the passage we're studying today. So when we look at the passage, let's look at faithful discipleship, Paul's out life. This is actually from verses 1 to 9. The first two verses is that, now the Passover and leavened bread were 2 days away, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to seize him by stealth and kill him. For they were saying, not during the festival, otherwise there might be a riot of the people. Now it's only like 2 days before Passover. Jesus is in Jerusalem or in the vicinity. What were they doing? The scribes, the chief priests were trying to kill him. They're plotting. And what is Jesus doing? Verse 3. While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table. Jesus was in Bethany, in the vicinity of Jerusalem. Bethany, if you have been to Jerusalem, is like 2 hours walk east of the temple. So it's not that far. And Jesus walked there and back and forth every day. So Jesus is at Bethany. And what is he doing? He is at the home of Simon the leper. Simon the leper was a leper he has cured before. He knows he's going to die in 2 or 3 days. What is he doing? He is still serving people. He is still visiting people. He is still reaching out to the lost, to the outcast. The leper are the outcast. People don't like them. They look a little bit different, and a lot of people can accept them. But Jesus is still with them and eating meal with them, reclining at the table. That means he's eating meal with them. Jesus serves till the last minute. Pours out his life. It doesn't matter if they are poor, they're hungry, they're outcasts. Jesus go to them. Jesus bring the church to them. Jesus cares for them. That reminds us that it's good that we come to church and visit and worship, but we also need to go out and visit and worship with people who long to worship Jesus. We're still in verse 3. It is amazing. The second part of verse 3. A woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment, of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. Now, this is interesting. A woman came in with an alabaster flask of ointment made from pure nard. It's very costly. How costly? 300 denarii. At that time, the day's wage is about 1 denarii per day. So 300 denarii is probably like a year's wage, right? And earlier, when Jesus tried to feed the 5,000. Philip has told him, even 200 denarii won't buy enough food for 5,000. So imagine, okay, now the average salary in the United States is probably like $50,000, $60,000 per year. I mean, take it. I mean, of course, some of you may make much more, and some may make a little bit less, but let's say $50,000 to $60,000. So this woman bring in a flask of ointment or perfume in our days, $50,000 or $60,000 to Jesus. It cost her 1 year's salary. And a lot of times I hear people always have this wonderful argument. We tithe as believers, 10% of our income. Do we tithe before tax or do we tithe after tax? To this woman, he said, it doesn't matter, 100%, we tithe. She tithes. So some of you may say, I don't have an income. Yeah, you may not have an income, but do you have pocket money? Do you have allowance? Do you tithe those? As a believer, we are commanded to tithe. The flask is an alabaster flask. It's made of marble. And a flask is usually a long-necked bottle. Why did this woman break it open and pour it out? $50,000, $60,000 of perfume. Because there is an urgency. She knew Jesus is going to be killed in 2 or 3 days. She listened. She listened to Jesus' teaching. She was probably listening to Jesus in Mark 8, Mark 9, Mark 10. Definitely, she was listening to Jesus when she was sitting at his feet and Martha was busy serving. She listened and she knew Christ is going to die. And there's an urgency. And if you read to John chapter 11, you know that his brother died and resurrected in John 11. And the anointing was in John chapter 12. And she experienced death before. She knew when somebody died, even though she believed Jesus is going to come back, just like Lazarus, in 3 days, it's going to be smelly. Martha said, Rabbi, do you know you open the tomb? It's going to be stench. There will be stench. There will be odor. There's going to be bad smell. You know he has died for 4 days already. Don't you know? Mary was there when they opened the tomb. It stench. The stench was so strong. That's why she's so desperate to pour all those ointment into Jesus. The most expensive kind. Very expensive. And she couldn't pour it fast enough because she doesn't know when will the Romans or the Jews came and pick up Jesus. There's an urgency. She needed to pour it up as fast as possible from the head to the toe. That's why she broke over the bottle and poured. I always have trouble when I go to eat hamburger and deal with that ketchup bottle. I like to eat ketchup with my hamburger and stuff, but I always have trouble shaking it up, so I try to squeeze it. So when I squeeze it, more ketchup will come up, right? Same thing happened here. She wants her perfume fast, right there. That's why she broke over the flask, poured it out, instead of dripping it, waiting it for it to come down, drip by drip. She can't wait. There's an urgency. And she knows Jesus is going to die, and his body is going to be decaying. And there will be a smell. And she tried to pour the most expensive oil over Jesus' body. So when they open the tomb, when Jesus raises, it won't be that bad. Death is ugly. Death is smelly. How do we cover it up? We can't. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can raise from the dead. We're going to die for sure. We're separated from God. But only Jesus can save us. Because Mary listened, she responded. And that's why Jesus said, in verse 9. Then I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. We know in Hebrews there is a chapter called the Hall of Faith. Those are Old Testament people. I think this woman, Mary, when there's a Hall of Faith in New Testament, she'll be there. Because Jesus promised wherever she goes, wherever the gospel is preached, they will remember her. She is faithful. She is dependable. She listened to Christ. Have Christ been talking to us? Have Jesus been talking to me, to you, to us together? Have we been listening, just like Mary? When Jesus told me, or told us, that he was going to die, Mary listened. Now Jesus has told us he's going to come back. Have we listened? Have we responded? Have we go out and buy the flask of perfume? Very expensive one to Paul and Jesus to welcome him back. How do we respond? Or have we